Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, Israel has said it carried out more than 500 air and artillery attacks on the Gaza Strip overnight. It said the bombs were launched at what it claimed were Hamas targets. The strikes were ordered in response to an attack by Hamas on Saturday, in which more than 700 Israelis were killed and more than 2,700 were wounded. Health officials in Gaza have said almost 500 Palestinians have been killed and around 2,700 people have been injured in the Israeli bombings. Well, for more on this, we're joined by Inna Lazareva, who's a journalist based in Tel Aviv, and Dr. Patrick Bury, defence and security expert at the University of Bath. Inna, to you first. I understand you're outside the Centre for Missing People in Tel Aviv right now. Will you describe what's happening there?
Yes, good morning. I'm outside the centre all day this morning and all of yesterday as well. People and families have been streaming in. Some are carrying small bags of items belonging to their missing children or siblings for the purpose of going inside and first of all registering their family members as missing and also hoping to identify them if there are any remains. And actually just a few minutes ago we had an air raid siren. Everyone had to rush inside because there were rockets fired from Gaza. Everyone crammed inside and we heard about three or four booms in the sky. Now things are back to normal. Everyone is coming out again. But obviously this is extremely traumatic for the families, who some of whom have just received very bad news.
Do we have any clear number, Inna, this morning as to how many people were taken hostage over the weekend?
No clear number, but estimates range from about 150 people at least. And this includes Israeli nationals and foreigners, some of whom were just tourists passing by or attending a party.
So many of those families are there where you are this morning?
Yes, and many families of those who are presumed to be kidnapped, also families of those who are missing. No one knows what happened to them, whether they may be dead or alive somewhere.
So you said there that air raid sirens are sounding where you are. We have been told by the Israelis this morning that they have taken control of some of the areas where Hamas fighters were still active. So what is the latest you can tell us on that?
Yes, the Israeli authorities are fighting the areas where Hamas fighters are still fighting, but some gunfights are still going on. And even this morning, there were rumors of some kind of a hostage situation, but this was unconfirmed. What is also more shocking is that ever since this began, there have been other Hamas militants in the past 24 to 48 hours who have been able to cross into Israel, as well as those who crossed, the hundreds of those who crossed at the start of the war. So this is still very much an active situation. This morning was announced there was also an underground tunnel discovered from Gaza into one of the Israeli communities close to the border. So, and I understand the border fence between Israel and Gaza was breached in 80 places. So it's people are searching for the Hamas militants and many people are still at large and local residents are afraid to leave their homes.
Now, given those breaches of security that you describe, what has been the reaction towards Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the wake of these attacks?
Benjamin Netanyahu spoke and said that Israel is going to deliver a very mighty response to Gazans. He promised complete devastation, which is very terrifying to hear. Netanyahu is also facing a lot of criticism back home for the fact that Israel is caught completely off guard. This is the scale of the victims is unprecedented. It's I think the biggest loss since 50 years at least. So he's facing a lot of criticism at home, while at the same time trying to give the appearance that things are in control. But talking to the families of the missing, they're also complaining a lot that they're not getting any information from the authorities. Now there's a centre being set up, but until recently many of them said they learned about the fact that their relatives have been kidnapped through social media by seeing a video that Hamas had posted.
Can you tell me more about your conversations with the people who are queuing there this morning?
Yes, many of them are too distraught to talk, to be honest. They come out and some of them have received the worst news. They they couldn't ever hope to receive. So I tried to give them space. Others are just are confused. They want to find answers. They had phone calls from their loved ones saying they're okay, and then no communication whatsoever. So they're not sure. Others are not coming here. They're going to hospitals, and they're going from hospital ward to hospital ward, clutching photographs of the missing and saying, have you seen my son or daughter? Others are taking to social media. So many have been posting photographs, asking if anyone has seen anyone, asking social media influence to talk about it. Israeli radio phone lines have been jammed with families of the missing trying to make an appeal on the radio in case anyone has seen or heard from them.
And I'm sure there are people there, Inna, who are related to those who were attacked at the festival at the weekend. Mm. And as more detail emerges from that attack, the more horrific it becomes, the accounts of how people were mowed down and others taken away.
Yes, this was something I was reporting on yesterday, and I spoke to someone who managed to flee the scene just by the skin of his teeth, and he said as he was driving away, he had three people crammed in the front seat, six more in the back seat, two more clinging to the roof, and he had to drive through gunshots. He drove as fast as he could. Luckily, he made it. Others did not, and you can see now pictures on social media of cars basically burnt out, destroyed, bodies lying on what would have been party grounds. And they say that about a third of those declared dead are people, youth from that party.
Inna, it must be very frightening to witness what's happening there now and what the response will be, because I see this morning that 300,000 Israeli reservists have been called up now to help with the Israeli response to this.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I've covered many wars here in the past 10 years or so, and this is by far the most scary situation I've personally experienced. And for those who are being called up, they're being called up not only to the south of the country, but also potentially looking to Israel's northern border with Lebanon, because the big fear now is that a second front could open up, and Hezbollah, which is the de facto militia in charge of Lebanon, may also join in. And they are much more vastly armed than Hamas and have much greater capabilities. So this is the nightmare scenario that people are hoping will not happen.
Inna, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Inna Lazareva there, who's outside the Centre for Missing People in Tel Aviv right now. Well, also on the line, I have Dr. Patrick Bury, defence and security expert at the University of Bath. Patrick, good morning to you, and thank you for joining us this morning. What we're seeing there in the Middle East, as described by Inna, the response that's likely to come from Israel, that could have very far-reaching global implications, couldn't it?
Good morning, Claire. Yes, it could. Obviously, it depends on how things progress, of course. But really, the key player here is Iran. We've already had senior Hamas leaders come out and say they got a high level of support, planning support, weapons, etc., from the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps. And if you look at the nature of this attack, and especially the mowing down of the civilians at the festival, which is sort of brings up images of Bataclan and also of Mumbai, it is designed to provoke a response. And if the IRGC have signed off on that as a target, then they are banking on Israel having an overwhelming response to that and trying to provoke a wider conflagration, essentially, in the region. So, as Ina said, you know, you would expect now Hezbollah, we will see they could easily open a second front. There'll be probably more fighting in the West Bank on the other side as well. You'll see gloves off from Israel. They will bombard the Gaza Strip with air power, as they're already doing, and then probably move in with ground forces when they think it's safer to do so.
Mm-hmm. And why was that the aim, to provoke the response?
This is really, if you zoom out further, there's been ongoing strategic competition essentially between the West and Russia, and increasingly with Iran, and to a lesser degree with China. And that competition, of course, has manifested itself in Ukraine. But then over the last year, we've seen it spread to East Africa, Sudan, West Africa with the coups around there. We've had Kosovo in the news in the last 10 days, and now Israel. And it's it's not that these are all in complete cahoots with each other, planning every intricate thing, but their interests converge, and those interests are about stymieing and eventually overwhelming the West. And what you're seeing emerge here at the strategic level is almost a worst case scenario for the West, where it's getting stretched in different places all over the place. And we're one, there's one more area where this could be pushed, which is with the Chinese and Taiwan. And then we'd be into a very serious situation. Mm-hmm. But it's moving from competition to conflict is what we're seeing.
And to wider conflict between bigger powers.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you see the U.S. has sent their carrier group, the Gerald Ford, and missile destroyers and cruisers over. And that will be to help, like, obviously, to project the power to help with intelligence collection. They'll be extremely concerned about the Iranian element of this. They will obviously be providing logistics support immediately to Israel. That will include more missiles for the Iron Dome system, which has been completely overwhelmed by the amount of rockets fired by Hamas, which were supplied by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. So you can see how this is starting to really bubble now.
Mm-hmm. And the Iranians this morning have said this has absolutely nothing to do with us. Just on the security breaches, and you know, Ina told us there, you know, just how many of them there were across the weekend, and they're still continuing, according to her report this morning. How did Hamas manage to do that, to get around Israeli security, which, as we know, is very strong, very powerful?
So the best way to think about the wall essentially there is it's like a security ecosystem, and that it has electronic sensors, and you have manned control points, and you have the wire and the wall, and you also then have to sort of back it up is a good signals intelligence collecting capability the Israelis have, complemented usually by a decent human intelligence capability, informers who will give the Israelis warning about any sort of activity going on. They have failed essentially, because probably with the help again of the Iranians, but the Hamas perfected small groups, close-knit groups, to keep informers out, and obviously using analog means to communicate, or face-to-face rather than the digital space. So that's, they've given them surprise that way. And then secondly, the way they actually breached, so they're being clever here in terms of their adaption, and we've seen this with Hezbollah and also with Hamas. They're good at adapting their tactics to offset Israeli advantages. So for example, they use drones in the first wave of attacks to drop explosives onto the sensors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then just after that, they fired barrages, and you're talking 2,000 to 3,000 missiles into Israel and onto some of the bases as well to overwhelm the Iron Dome system. And then, for example, they used powered parachutes to fly some troops over the fence into some areas. They used sea landings in other areas. They cut the fences in numerous places and drove through or attacked through, and then basically overwhelmed the defenders who weren't expecting this at all. So they've been tactically astute as well. And then the targets they've chosen, like going to this festival, knowing exactly what you're doing at this festival to massively increase the number of casualties, it obviously indicates a high level of coordination and planning.
And what do you expect to see in the coming hours?
I think this attack is unusual. Normally, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, the ratio of casualties would be much higher on the Palestinians rather than the Israelis. And I think it's at the initial few days, it's much higher on the Israelis rather than the Palestinians. I think, unfortunately and terribly for the human cost and the civilians, that's going to start to increase now amongst the Palestinian civilians in Gaza, because I think the Israelis are just, you're seeing pictures of them drawing up howitzers and bringing out bulldozers, and that means, you know, one thing, they're going to level the place essentially. And it'll be tough because Gaza's got a high population and it's a heavily urbanized environment. You can imagine the kind of civilian casualties and Israeli military casualties that will happen trying to fight through there.
Patrick, thank you. Patrick Bury there, defence and security expert at the University of Bath. And my thanks also to Ina Lazareva, who was in Tel Aviv speaking to us a little bit earlier on. We're going to return to developments in Israel later in the show. Next on the programme, our expert panel will be looking at what to expect in tomorrow's budget.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.